Man, can you hear that? Almost episode 10. Can't believe it. Welcome to episode number 9 of the Should Be Powered podcast, the podcast for vegan athletes and entrepreneurs who want to change the world. I'm your host, Oliver Zurgis, and thank you so much for joining me today. I'm not even joking when I'm thanking you. I'm just so blessed to have you listeners on board and to have awesome guests like Holly today. Share her story, share her inspiring tips, and most importantly, how you can use them to live a more fulfilling life. And man, is it awesome. I can't wait to get started. Let me just give you a brief introduction. Though I do give an introduction, I'm practicing them slowly but surely, getting into the vibe. And man, I just want to say something about Holly. She is so inspiring. She is so strong from the inside out. Man, she's entrenched in her routine spiritually, emotionally, and physically as well. Man, I saw her lift over 300 pounds on Instagram, and man, is she strong. Yeah, so without further ado, let's get right into the interview. Make sure you take notes. Make sure this is a bit longer interview, but make sure you get the adequate equipment. Writing down is equipment, but to get the most out of this interview, I cannot stress enough how important it is to write down or find a way to entrench your learning into your mind so you can actually turn around and apply it. Peace. Today we have an amazing guest. You're going to be so thrilled to have her on. Holly Knowman, co-founder of The New Ethic. She is so much more than a plant-based beast. She is living a lifestyle, not only from a gym perspective, but also tying that into living a fulfilling life with just enjoyment. Founder of two companies, owning two companies, podcast. Welcome to the podcast, Holly.
Thank you. That's an amazing intro.
How about you start off by telling us something that no one knows about you?
Very few people know that I was on trial. I was a really serious activist for a long time. And when the Oscar Grant stuff went down here, if you don't know who Oscar Grant is, go ahead and Google it. There's a movie and stuff on what happened at this point. But when all that went down, I was really, really furious about what was going on with the police brutality towards, the black community here in Oakland, and did a lot of street activism, got caught up in some framing, got framed for a crime, and almost lost my 20s to prison, but really got lucky and had some amazing supporters and got off with a plea bargain. So that's something very few people know about me in the fitness industry, that I used to be a really serious activist and actually almost caught up for a long time.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Do you think it was because of the fitness industry that you were able to come out, or was it just your integrity?
I wasn't really into fitness that much back then. I was just playing in bands and just kind of like a punk rock activist at the time. Okay. And when I took the plea bargain, actually, I moved to Seattle because, the judge was really like strict, like, oh, if I catch you for anything, I'm going to put you in prison, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like super scared, right? Like I want to be like, oh, I was super tough, like whatever, I fought the law and I won. Like it wasn't like that. I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Just let me be free. And so I moved to Seattle, and when I moved to Seattle, I didn't really know anyone, and that was actually the beginning of me getting into fitness. I initially just started going to the gym because, I knew one or two people sort of very vaguely, and they were like, oh, hey, we're going to the gym if you want to come with us, and I was like, okay. And it kind of morphed into this thing where it was like a warm, well-lit environment where, like, I started to make some friends at the gym, and it was a really, like positive thing for me, like mentally and emotionally. Fitness really helped me pull out of the depression, and like, you know, PTSD of going through all of that. But I wouldn't say that it helped me when I was on trial at all, just cause I just literally wasn't working out besides like riding my bike and stuff like that.
And so if you could break it down, how exactly did you start getting to fitness? Was it, like you said, just taking bike rides, or did you directly go into bodybuilding, powerlifting?
Yeah. So when I was in Seattle, I just started going to the gym. Like it was warm and it was well lit, and had a couple of people that I knew there that like we could just talk about like, you know, working out or whatever. But I joke that I sort of like tripped and stumbled into sports. I definitely was not a kid who did sports. Like I rode horses, but I definitely was like the daughter of a baker. I was like pretty overweight, and I definitely wasn't good at like athletics or anything like that. And so when I started going to the gym, I really had no idea what I was doing. So, you know, I did the machines and the cardio equipment, and then I did like the free weights and stuff like that a little bit. And then it's funny, like, this was back in the very early days of CrossFit. And I remember, I don't remember where it was. I feel like it was actually at the gym, but I remember watching a CrossFit competition, and I was like, oh my God, like these are people. These are specifically women that like, I think are rad. Like they look like superheroes. They're lifting big weight. The sport is giving them equal value next to their male counterparts. They're in insane beasts, you know, like this is a version of sport that I feel like I could fit into. I feel like I could do. Whereas before that, the only gym stuff and the only sport stuff that I had seen with women represented were like these, you know, Nike model women who are very small. They're kind of like praying mantis-like or something like that. Very, very lean, very, very small. And I'm kind of like short and stocky and strong. So I've never really like fit into that. That never really resonated with me. But when I saw these women with CrossFit, I was like, oh my God, I want to be that. That's amazing. And so I kind of like started playing around with kettlebells and that's kind of what got me into like barbell sport and like strength stuff. And then I started doing these CrossFit competitions or not, sorry, competitions, excuse me. CrossFit workouts at Globo Gyms at 24 Hour Fitness and LA Fitness, with some friends. And it's funny, like I still totally do CrossFit. I just actually finished 18.2, about 15 minutes ago. And I love it. It's super fun. But I remember being like, yo, I could do way heavier deadlifts. If I hadn't just done like all these, you know, air squats and kettlebell swings and burpees and whatnot, maybe I'll just do deadlifts. And that's kind of how I got into powerlifting.
Do you have like any tips for people who are starting out, who are short, bulky, a bit like your body type?
Yeah. So, first things first, like don't try to be what you're never going to be, right? Like, I feel like a lot of people like find this fitness ideal or like beauty ideal, like male and female and all gendered people, kind of like idolize these beauty standards or these strength standards that just aren't going to work for them. And you kind of got to find what's going to work for you, right? And find what you're naturally good at, and you're going to enjoy that a lot more than trying to force yourself into these standards that are really difficult, right? So like when I was like in powerlifting, I was doing like bikini photo shoots and stuff like that, and that wasn't working for me. It was just putting me in this like downward spiral of like under eating and then underperforming, and it was really frustrating. And when I stopped worrying about, you know, trying to be super small and not too much like muscle or whatever, and just like put myself into a headspace of like being proud of my accomplishments and trying to eat and perform for strength, I found that I loved the way that I looked so much more than when I was trying to pour myself into a beauty ideal that didn't fit my body naturally, or my brain naturally, which is a really important part of the whole thing. And like, I think the biggest piece of advice that I would give to literally anybody in getting into strength sport is if you're not having fun, then stop. Like, if you're not enjoying the process, then, you know, what the hell is the whole thing for? What is the point? Like, and when I was like super dieting and like not eating enough and doing hours of cardio, like who has fun doing that? It's not fun for me. And like, it's so much more gratifying to me to like pull more than 300 pounds off the ground, or, you know, I'm a competitive weightlifter now. I've moved out of powerlifting, to like snatch more than I've ever snatched before. I'm like, yes, like that gives me like this huge rush, and I'm really excited and really proud of who I am, as opposed to like trying to just be smaller and smaller and smaller. There's no way you can win at that game. So yeah, find what makes you happy, find what you have fun doing, what, you know, drives you, and do that. Don't try to fit yourself into what you think is expected of you.
Uh-huh. I like the way you were able to frame it with, you were saying how you were able to release from that yourself from that beauty standard and going to strength training more, you realized that you enjoyed your body a lot more.
Yeah, and you know what's really funny is I finished Plant Built a few years ago, and I dieted super, super hard to get into that. And at the end, I knew I was unhealthy. I knew I was like had a bad vision of food. And so I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to spend some time. I reverse dieted out of that space I was in. And I spent some time just, you know, eating intuitively and training, you know, intuitively and not pushing myself super hard, which, you know, I think everybody should do after they accomplish something. And what's funny about it is that I like the way I look aesthetically so much more than I ever did when I was like super dieting, because I like a more, a leaner muscular look as opposed to like a softer bikini look. I like it so much more. And so I would never have known that if I had stayed on this course of like, you know, everything that I was doing then, you know, if I let go and did everything, like I'm so much happier with food, I'm happier with performance. But the important part to note in that story is that I'm also way happier with my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially I think unless you're able to distance yourself for like bodybuilding, because I know a few people that are really into bodybuilding and they're able to get away from themselves and just focus and turn that into a sport in and of itself. But for a lot of people, it becomes very dogmatic and it just start calorie restricting and it just becomes a whole nightmare. So
yeah, man, like if it works for you, then you should do it. And you know, I know some people, I have some really great friends who are all aesthetic athletes and they love it. They love the cardio. They love the reps. They love the diet. They love the regiment. And there's aspects of all sport that you don't like, but, they've got the brain for it. I just don't have the brain for it and it's all good with me.
So man, we could go on this conversation for hours, but maybe going into the technical stuff. How does the first 60 minutes of your day look like?
Right. Okay. So, I live above, New Ethic, my gym, with my partner and my two dogs. And, there's basically people here from like 6 a.m. to like 10 p.m. Right. So it's just like social and it's go time. And so I took a half an hour out of the schedule where the gym is super quiet. So I wake up at about 6:45, 7. My partner usually wakes me up and, I'll do about 20 minutes of cardio. And I try and approach that really, intuitively, right? So like, if I feel great, that'll be, hill sprints on the treadmill, assault bike sprints, kettlebell swings, like more intense, like really high intensity stuff. If I'm feeling like a lot of fatigue, like right now we're doing the open and we're also doing our normal programming and we're doing bodybuilding on top of that. And so there's like a lot going on. So if my fatigue level feels like it's pretty high, I'm going to kind of let that be chill time, right? So I'm going to walk a little bit more, jog a little bit more, do stuff that has a less impact on my body. But in the end, it comes out to about 20 minutes, 25 minutes of some kind of cardio conditioning in the morning. And then I usually eat breakfast. My breakfast is usually huge. It's a pre-workout, but I also don't really feel like I want to eat at night. Some people eat in the morning. Some people eat at night. I'm a morning person. So I'll finish that. I'll be pretty ravenous. I usually drink BCAAs the whole time to kind of maximize that time in terms of fat burning and not burning muscle. So my breakfast is usually a big bagel, and half the bagel will be avocado, usually field roast sausage, everything bagel spice, and Parmageddon, which is from this company called Vegan Magic, which is amazing. It's so good. It's basically nutritional yeast and pumpkin seeds and salt. So that's half the bagel. The other half is going to be like almond butter, some kind of jam. I try to make my own chia jam, but it doesn't always work out. Bananas and granola. So a lot of calories right in the beginning of the day. And then I'll spend a half an hour really going hard on business stuff. So I like that time. My brain's super clear. I just spent time by myself. I usually listen to audiobooks or podcasts when I do cardio. So I'm really on top of my shit at the beginning of the day. So that's usually when I answer emails, and do business stuff, for that hour. And Ed's usually coaching downstairs in the morning. So I've kind of got that space to myself. So that's the first 90 minutes of my day.
Wow, man. So you started off with a bang. I like it.
Yeah, there's not really a lot of time to waste in my existence. But I definitely still like, you know, play video games and stuff. It's worth noting that in there, usually if I have a couple of extra minutes, I'll try to get up here from cardio. And my partner and I typically meditate at the beginning of the day for about between 5 and 10 minutes, just depending on the way that the schedule is going. And we try to spend that time really like to focus for the day and really get your brain like calm and focused and intentional.
Okay. I was actually going to ask you about that because since you start so hard, you start really, really strong. I was going to ask you, like, how are you able to counterbalance that with something more rest and digest?
Yeah, I'm super A-type personality. So like, if you let me go, I just charge forward forever until I collapsed. Mm-hmm. But my partner is much more chill, so he kind of like balances that out. And to make sure I don't get like too overwhelmed and too driven, to stay focused, meditation is a huge one. I spend a lot of time doing mobility. There's a company called ROMWOD. That does like range of motion workout of the day. It's basically like yoga for weightlifters. So I do that for about 15, 20 minutes a day. And I always do mobility before I go to bed as well. So I've got meditation 3 times a day in the morning, pre-workout, and at night. I do mobility in the morning, and then I do ROMWOD before I coach class at night. And then I usually do some more mobility in the evening as well, just to kind of like center myself before I go to bed. Because I'm a really driven person, sleep and relaxation is something I have a hard time doing. So I kind of stretch and relax and meditate at night to keep that in check.
Uh-huh. And so how long are these sessions, like meditation and mobility?
Meditation's between 5 and 10 minutes, usually in the morning, 5 and 10 minutes at night, about 10 minutes pre-workout. It's about 5 minutes, where we'll just lay on the ground somewhere warm, and just get focused and centered and visualize, for the workout. And oh man, I cannot stress how valuable meditation is. For workouts, but also just for your brain in general. And we do mindfulness meditation, so that's just like sitting and breathing. Occasionally I'll like let a word like focus or calm or gratitude sit in my head. But most of the time I just try to let thoughts like stay away and just keep that like a calm, dark place in my brain for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to are you successful when you're doing it? Because I find I've been meditating for like 3 to 4 years and I'm still struggling. Sometimes thoughts just catch on to me and just drag me away.
It's a challenge, right? It's amazing how difficult it is to just not think about stuff for a minute. You know, sometimes I'm more successful than others. monkey brain is definitely a problem for me. But it's always worth it to try. And even if I get 45 seconds in there of like total calm and the rest of it's just like, you know, planning for the future and like reflecting on the past and obsessing about this, that, or the other thing, even if I get just a moment in there, it's worth it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And would you say would your training be the same way it is right now? Would it not have been for meditation, or maybe better framed? Is there like something like a 20% that achieves 80% of the results in your life in terms of training?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing when it comes to training is your mental state. Like, the more focused you are, the more confidence you have in yourself, the more you can believe in your ability and believe in yourself to accomplish things you've never accomplished, because that's really what we're trying to do with training, right? Like, we spend a lot of time charging forward and then coming back and then charging forward and then coming back. But it's all to accomplish the goal of doing things you've never done before. I think it's really, really valuable to stay in a mental state where you believe in yourself to do such a thing, because if you reflect on that for just a second, that's like just about the scariest thing you can do, right? You have no idea that you actually can do it. And when you don't know, that's when those fears creep in. So getting a solid handle on your brain and controlling your emotions around those things, because we really want to accomplish those things. So if we don't believe in ourselves, or, you know, life happens and we get some setback, it becomes really difficult to have that confidence and have that belief. And so controlling your brain, controlling your emotions, and staying focused, I think is that 20%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really resonate with that answer, especially because I feel that many people would have answered saying nutrition is the 20% of all the results, but really the mindset is where it's at, and really expanding your comfort zone. So I like the way you answer that.
Oh yeah. And I mean, it's your brain controls everything, right? Like, if you think about it, like there's that thing called, what is it, mom strength, where like in an emergency, like a baby's trapped under a car, a mom can like deadlift a 3,000 pound car. Like, mm-hmm. She didn't do that if she didn't have her brain changing and shutting off all of those safety receptors to make it so that she can just do freaking anything, right? So if you think about that, that's literally all controlled by the brain. She didn't randomly get that much stronger. She just shut down those things in her brain that said she couldn't. And so if you get rid of those inhibitions, you can get forward so much. And I think also people put so much stress on nutrition and sleep and whatever else, and then if you get a shitty night's sleep, then you go into your next day like, oh, I can't do what I want to do because I got a bad night's sleep. Or, you know, maybe you slammed some cake with some friends and got a little bit too tipsy last night. You're going to be like, oh, I can't do what I needed to do because I didn't have good nutrition. And that's a crappy excuse, right? Like, you can totally like sleep not at all and get it done, but you have to have your brain in the right place.
I like that. And maybe going back to the analogy of the mom that can lift up a 300 pound car, do you think it would be possible to incorporate that in training, or is that not even something you should do?
You know, I'm not sure. I've definitely played around with like really intense breathing techniques to try to maximize different types of oxygen and glycogen and stuff. I haven't found anything that has successfully shut that off, right? You've kind of got to like have the circumstances be this insane emergency where you've got all this adrenaline and these situational circumstances where you change literally the physiology of your brain, but for a very short period of time. I don't know if you'd want to put that kind of stress on your body in any kind of regular setting. Like, you'd really be in trouble if you were able to do that. But I don't know. I mean, there's stories of monks who shut down their heart rate all to the point where they should be dead. Or, you know, there's people who free dive and hold their breath for 15 minutes. Like, things can be done in the human body that we assume can't be done. And I think that that's a really big mistake. I think we got to keep our brains open to the concept of being able to do anything that we want. Yeah, you know, but maybe not attempt it in an unsafe condition. And I also think that there's something to be said about rituals. And I definitely have like a pre-workout ritual that I think is, you know, I'm really attached to. I'm not sure how much it gives me, but it like going through those motions and, you know, going A, B, C, D every single time the same way, it puts me in that mindset, right? Like, meditate and then you get dressed and like you do it all in the same order. And that kind of like ritual helps a lot. And so my gear is part of that. But, you know, in the beginning, I didn't have good enough mobility to get into a full squat. It's really difficult to pull under a clean properly when you can't get your hips all the way under you. And squat shoes really helped with that. I wear Wadis, which are from a brand called Jerkfit, and they cover the front of your hands, basically the palm of your hands, and they are also a wrist strap. And those are like $40, but my hands rip constantly, and getting rid of that pain has made it easier to focus on training. But
great. I like the way you brought in like handcuffs, but at the same time that you weren't dependent on them at first, you really have to work on your mobility.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh my God. Mobility. I can't stress how valuable mobility is. I think like the things that I think are the most beneficial for training, and honestly, like training and entrepreneurship are like
pretty much the same thing, right? You're doing stuff that you never thought you could. You have to problem solve on the spot. It's really hard. It's incredibly emotionally taxing. The sport of weightlifting is incredibly cerebral. You have to think about it constantly. And you never really have any time off when you're an athlete and when you're an entrepreneur. So there's a lot you can be that can be said about the similarities behind that. So, you know, mobility and meditation and those kind of things, they are really good for both.
Mm-hmm,
but they're free, right?
Yeah, and do you feel that your training ties into your entrepreneur life?
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's like, there. On one hand, it's literal, right? Like, I own a gym, and I own a protein waffle company, and so like... A protein waffle company?
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I have a company called FitQuick, which is a protein baking mix. We have protein waffles, pancakes, and donuts, and they can also be made like as general mixes. Like you can make coffee cake or just regular cake cupcakes and stuff out of them. And I have a bunch of flavors for that. And then obviously New Ethic is my gym. And then XVXH is my Instagram, which you know. But they're all like totally intertwined, right? So like my training is up on my Instagram, which kind of represents the gym. And then people see my training and then they are like, oh, what fuels that? Oh, FitQuick waffles, you know? So it's like, it's all super intertwined. And then, like I said, like the things that fuel one also fuel the other usually. Like if you're eating well, your training's going to go well, but also your brain's going to be working and you're going to feel good, so you're a better entrepreneur.
Man, I like it. I'm just checking out the waffles right now. And I think I like the way you bring that up and you tie it into, like, it's more than just about performance. It's also about enjoying and feeling good, and I think the waffles tie well into that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, like, the reason I started that company is because I was doing, like, bikini shoots and stuff, and I'd be posting, like, a waffle with protein ice cream on it, and then posting, like, really lean pictures, and people would be like, how are you doing this? And I'd be like, oh, hey, here's the recipe, and people would try to make it. It wouldn't work for them properly. And then I just started getting these people who were writing me independently, like, hey, if I PayPal you, like, $20, can you, like, send me that? And I was like, did that a bunch, and then all of a sudden, like, people were like, asking more and more and more, and I was like, wait a second, this is a business. So, you know, I really, like, that company started because I was just, like, having fun with my food and trying to have the best experience, even though I was, like, in a calorie deficit and, like, lower carb and lower fat, and, like, other people really resonated with that. And it's the same with New Ethic, you know, like, we're having fun, we're lifting weights, and, you know, we're playing with dogs, and we're in this space, and the business really is just here to facilitate the community, right? Like, if we weren't getting paid, we wouldn't be able to pay for the space and the community wouldn't exist. And so, like, I owned a lot of companies that were purely, like, for profit before. And these two companies are like, I love this shit, so I want to share it with the world, you know?
And, like, looking at them, they look really delicious. Is there anyone in particular you would recommend? It may be a hard question, but...
Oh, like flavors?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so my favorite flavor used to be the birthday cake, because anything with sprinkles is fantastic. flavor I like the most is actually just about to come out, and it's a cinnamon bun with caramel chips, and that's crazy good, because, like, you've got the, like, squishy caramel chips in between, like, really cinnamony dough, but that isn't out yet. Obviously, that will be coming out soon, and the flavor that's the absolute hands-down most popular by, like, a huge margin is the double chocolate brownie.
Okay. I really want to try them, actually.
The pizza one is really good, but people...
The pizza?
Yeah, you, like, put some batter down, and then put, like, you know, vegan cheese and, like, pepperoni and stuff, whatever feels, you know, whatever pizza things you like, and then put some more batter down on top of it and then close the waffle maker, and it makes, like, a waffle calzone thing. It's so good. But, like, people are like, pizza waffle? What is that?
Yeah, I imagine. And, man, there's, like, and so how can people connect with you?
Yeah, so for now, Instagram seems like the best way, and my Instagram name is XVXH, and so you can find me there, add me there, shoot me a DM, whatever, and there's a link to the website, newethic.net, up there as well. Fit Quick Waffles is in the store for New Ethic, so that's an easy way to get there. And then you can always email me at newethicstrength, N-E-W-E-T-H-I-C, strength@gmail.com. So that's the easiest way to kind of, like, get involved with that. So check out the website, check out my Instagram, shoot me an email, shoot me a message on there. You know, I love connecting with everybody out there. So, yeah, I'd love to talk.